Welcome to the Grace for This City podcast. We're helping you turn your city upside down. Hey, I'm your host, Justin Goff. Stay tuned. We got a great show for you today. All right. Hey, thank you so much for tuning in to the Grace for This City podcast. Hey, I'm your host, Justin, and we're helping you turn your city upside down. How are we doing that? We're giving you biblical strategies and motivation so you can get out there and get some stuff done for your King, King Jesus, that is. Hey, thanks for joining me today. We got a great episode. Hey, this is a unique episode. Of course, if you're listening to the podcast, you wouldn't know this, but I'm remote. I'm with my good friend Don Allen. Check him out with the new Old School podcast. But we're in Moline, Illinois today, and we'll be here for several days. And we've got some healing meetings coming up this weekend at MGT New Hope. Great church up here. Check out Pastor Scott Reese and what they're doing. But I'm on location. I'm in the hotel right now and brought the podcast studio with me. So this is great. Get to do this on the road. This is my first time doing this. I'm kind of trying it out to see how I like the feel. But with the equipment we have, we can take this anywhere. Well, hey, I want to encourage you today to not apologize for the gospel. Have you picked up on the spirit of the culture, the spirit that is pressing in on a whole lot of people right now, demanding that they apologize for this and that? I'm not saying that there's not maybe some things that needs to be evaluated in all the chaos and the craziness, but I'm telling you, there's a very nefarious and subversive spirit out there right now that is demanding that people cower and apologize. Well, I'm telling you right now, you don't need to apologize for the gospel. The kingdom does not need to apologize right now. Come on, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ does not need to cower, get on its knees, and apologize to the culture. I did a podcast recently, and if you follow our podcast, you probably saw that I had released a podcast that had the word socialism in the title. Well, I got censured and banned from a lot of our podcast outlets, so I took it down and I retitled it, and I took the word socialism out, and it showed back up on all of the various ways that you can get the podcast. By the way, we're out there on a whole lot of podcast platforms now, so you can check us out in a whole lot of different places. Of course, you can get on iTunes. In fact, iTunes was one of the ones that censored it. But we're on iTunes, of course, Google Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, Podbean, TuneIn, Spotify, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Castro, and CastBox. So if you're on any of those platfors, of course, there's apps for every single one of them. You can get a hold of the podcast. But when I released that, we got censured. They weren't going to post it. So I changed the title, and our content is back up there now. But what's interesting about that is what is the spirit behind socialism? Of course, it's Antichrist. My podcast today has nothing to do with socialism. But I wanted to say that there's a spirit out there that's trying to make Christianity apologize. And the same Antichrist spirit, that oppositional spirit that's out there right now, is what's behind this Marxism. It's what's behind this neo-Western Marxism. It's what's behind socialism. And one of the highly influential modern thought leaders of Marxism, Antonio Gramsci, he said that socialism was precisely the religion that needed to overthrow Christianity. And I bring this up at the beginning of this podcast because I want to encourage you that there's a great spirit out there. There's a very nefarious spirit that's got an agenda to cause the church to apologize. I mean, look at what's going on with the church being called non-essential. Churches in California are getting fined thousands of dollars every day just because they want to be open. There's a lot of pressure to apologize, say we're sorry, back up, step out of the way, you know, move backwards. Listen, friend, don't do it. Do not do it. Recognize what it is, and is a spirit. It's a spirit. It's an Antichrist spirit that is trying to take advantage of the current spiritual climate, the political climate, the chaos. Remember, we're in the book of James, it says, where there's strife, there's every evil work. Listen, that working, that evil working, is like a portal. It's like a demonic portal. Listen, friend, there's a lot of demonic activity going on right now. You can just step out your front door and you can see it. You can feel it. And I'm telling you right now that the church must maneuver itself to stay in a very forward, consistent path forward. Do not, friend, whatever you do, back up. Now is not the time to apologize. Now listen, we got to remember that we're not fighting for victory. We are fighting the good fight of faith, standing on the revelation that the battle is already won. We are doing what we do from victory, and we are enforcing that victory wherever lawless ones abound. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of lawless ones out there. Every time our president, current President Trump, whenever he says law and order, man, everybody freaks out. Why? But there's a spirit behind that. Lawlessness, lawlessness. Listen, it's not time for the Antichrist. But 1 John chapter 2 tells us, chapter 1, chapter 2 tells us that we would know that we were in the end of days because there would be an increase or an uptick of little a antichrists, and that spirit and movement and momentum of Antichrist would begin to rear its head. Of course, it's been, but as we near the time in which the Antichrist is to reveal himself, then we would begin to see more movement and momentum of the spirit of Antichrist and little a Antichrists coming on the scene. Well, everything that surrounds Antichrist is lawlessness. Lawlessness. In fact, it's the mystery of lawlessness. And that mystery is quickly becoming revealed. And so whenever a president would say law and order, people just freak out. Well, that's what I'm saying. Listen, we are here. There is a lot of lawlessness, and we need to enforce victory. We need to enforce kingdom rule wherever lawless ones abound. And listen, if there's ever been a time for the church to be on point, in your place, ready to go, it's now. Matthew chapter 11, verse 12 in the Amplified says this, "And from the days of John the Baptist until the present time, the kingdom of heaven has endured violent assault, and violent men seize it by force as a precious prize or a share in the heavenly kingdom is sought with most ardent zeal and intense exertion." The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, that verse says. Another translation says it forces its way violently. Now, obviously, there is no physical hostility being implied here. That would be the opposition throwing bombs at people and fireworks and have bats. I watched a video the other day of these people. They were simply walking down the street, and this gang, this mob, these thugs, this group of, rioters, these lawless ones showed up on this one guy, had a bat, and they were just cussing these people and telling them, get out of here, run. And they were making them like run. It was like, what are you doing? And then they were hitting them with this bat. We're not talking about that. We're not implying any physical hostility or physical harm here. But when you have your eyes open to the reality of the life that is in Christ Jesus, no apologies should be made for going after it. That's what we're talking about. That's the violence that's being suffered here. And this is the crux. What do we think we will win the world to Christ with? Listen, have our apologies won the world to the Lord? Is the church right now cowering, kowtowing, backing up, apologizing, shutting itself down? Is that going to win the world to the Lord? Has our defeatism broke down the door of bondages in anybody's life? Listen, Jesus sent us into the world to preach the gospel. No apologies. We're in an interesting conundrum right now. There is murder in people's hearts. Hatred and contempt. Psalm 2, verse 1, the Amplified says, "Why do the nations assemble with commotion, uproar, and confusion of voices? And why do the people imagine, meditate upon, and devise empty schemes?" Very interesting, Ecclesiastes 8:11. Because the sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Wow, that's very interesting. Listen to this quote from Mario Murillo. And he's talking about the spirit of defeatism in the church. He says, Christian leaders need to examine themselves for this hypocrisy. Another area that requires examination should be centered around outcomes. If the intended goal of the, quote, user-friendly church, end quote, was to reduce hostility, then why, under their watch, has hostility towards Christians and laws banning religious freedoms increased dramatically? They didn't hate us like this when we preached boldly. It is possible they now instinctively feel contempt for our compromise. They respectfully disagreed with us back then, but are repulsed by us now. He says, nowhere is this defeatism more glaring than in the attitude of the church at large towards prayer and revival. They don't really believe prayer and revival can change our world. They don't pray as if prayer had power to change society. They don't preach revival because they can't imagine it happening to their people. They see their congregations as coddled masses who are not willing to pay the price for revival. Now, I want to go back up and I want to read that verse, Ecclesiastes 8:11. I read that right after I read Psalm 2. Why do the nations assemble with commotion? Why are all these people assembling with such commotion right now? Why is there such lawlessness? When you retract law, when you recant order, what do you think is going to happen? Ecclesiastes 8:11. Because the sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Do you understand what Ecclesiastes is saying? When evil reveals itself and the righteous do nothing about it, there is not a sentence or a opposition or a resistance against the evil work. When that's not executed speedily, it says that evil work in the hearts of men is set in them. Think about that, friend. Think about that. Listen, if you keep apologizing, if you keep backing up, taking the back seat, cowering, hiding your light, moving out of the, quote, way, lawlessness is going to abound. Remember what we're told in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, that there's a restraining force? Listen, friend, you are part of that restraining force. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've got the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. You are a Spirit-baptized, Holy Ghost tongue-talking, fire-baptized believer. You are a prayer. Then you don't need to get out of the way. You don't need to apologize. Listen, friend, do not apologize for being a representative of the kingdom. Earlier, I was reading Mario. Earlier in that same article, Mario talked about how true peace comes through an attitude that refuses to accept anything but victory. He quotes a man named Arthur Matthews. Listen to this. This is what Arthur Matthews says. He said, Old Testament examples of prayer at work portray most dramatically for us the believer's authority over all the power of God's enemies. There is a finality that will not be gainsaid in the way the superior strength of alien armies is deposed of as God's servants. This finality is not seen in the political bargaining that characterizes our day. Compromises are made, peace treaties are signed, and the peacemakers move to other danger spots. But the fighting still goes on. Are we allowing our disillusionment with the world's acclaimed peacemakers to influence our thinking on spiritual warfare? Are we really convinced our call is to spiritual welfare and peace through victory? He says, peace through victory means positioning yourself to call someone's bluff. Oh, I love that. Peace through victory. Can there be peace unless there's not enforcement? Peace through victory means positioning yourself to call someone's bluff. Now, namely, for the context of our podcast today, we're going to call the devil's bluff. We need to position ourselves to call the devil's bluff. Christian leaders must learn to do that with Satan. Call his bluff. Tell him he's defeated. Behave like Jesus won a total victory on the cross. Christian leaders must do that with culture. Call the bluff of those, quote, experts who insists that we must alter our message in order to change society. Listen, these experts, especially these church growth gurus, there's been a whole movement out here, this church growth movement, that hasn't really taught the church at large how to storm the gates of hell. They've trained them of how to make peace with culture, and namely through entertainment. Instead of hiring Holy Ghost fire-baptized ministers, we've hired event planners. Arthur Matthews says this, "In any situation where Satan dominates and threatens, God looks for a man through whom he may declare war on the enemy. He purposes that through this man, Satan may be served notice to back up, pack up, and clear out." Now listen, I declare over you right now in the name of Jesus that there will be no apologies in 2020. I declare that we shall get our go back rather than our back up. We're going to get our move forward back. I declare that the gospel and the power of that gospel shall go forth in the remaining of this year. And I declare that witnesses shall arise who are endued with power from on high. Listen, friend, I'm talking to you. You listen to this podcast because you're wanting the strategies and motivation to get out there and get some stuff done for your king. And I'm telling you that you are a witness. You are an ambassador for him. I declare that signs, wonders, and miracles that confirm the preaching of the gospel will be increased in Jesus' name. Think about this. Herodias is to Herod what Jezebel was to Ahab. No doubt the enemy is looking to cut the head off of this revival before it even gets underway. Remember, John came in the spirit and power of Elijah. Now we come, listen to this, we come in a double portion of the spirit of Elijah. Listen, friend, you are the move of God waiting to happen. We're getting our fight back, friend, and I'm encouraging you today to receive it right now in the name of Jesus. I pray right now, just lift if you're listening, just lift your hands up and say, "Thank you, Father. I receive it right now. That the spirit of might, I receive an impartation right now, the spirit of might. Something's happening deep in my spirit. In the name of Jesus, I'm being delivered from the fear of man, and I'm getting my fight back. The inner warrior on the inside of me is coming alive." Listen, that defeatist spirit is coming off of you right now. I heard the Lord say this, that I am the head of the church, and the church is my body, and it shall not lose its head. Hallelujah. Mario went on to say in this article, and he finishes it with this thought. He said, "Peace through victory calls the devil's bluff on the highest level. It declares that the earth can still be enveloped by a massive act of God, as God said it will." Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14, he says, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of Jehovah as the waters cover the sea." Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for that. It's time for Christian leaders to repent of their defeatism and embrace the power of prayer to make tangible changes in the hearts of men and women and to impact world events. Hallelujah. He goes on to quote Arthur Matthews. "It is the man who prays who exercises supremacy even over international situations. Men are going to have to acknowledge the peace will not be brought through politicians, but through the intercessor who has learned to wage spiritual warfare and wins peace over the principalities and powers in high places." Listen, friend, I'm telling you, get that in your spirit. God's calling you to this right now. You know, we talk a lot about prayer on the podcast, and that's partly why, right there. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, it says, "Lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." We could say it like this. The way the devil gets the advantage over you is if you are ignorant of his devices. The Bible says, "Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." The problem is, do you know what to resist? And I'm telling you right now, resist the temptation to apologize for the gospel. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, the Amplified, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power unto salvation, for deliverance from eternal death to everyone who believes. Listen, I heard the Lord very clearly back in 2018. And not audibly, but the Lord spoke to my heart. I was doing a series of meetings. We were hosting an Appeal to Heaven Arkansas meeting in June of 2018. And as I was preparing to minister in one of the sessions, the Lord spoke this to my heart. And I'm bringing it up to you today because, boy, you have need of this. This is what the Lord said. I want you to listen to this with the ears of your spirit. Get this into your spirit. He said, do not be afraid of controversy. He said, I will use it as a catalyst to amplify your voice. Now listen, there's a lot of controversy going on out there. And the church, and that's who I'm talking to. I'm talking to the believer. The church needs to stop apologizing. We don't need to be afraid of controversy. Listen, the Lord said controversy will be the new norm. Controversy will be the new norm. And I began to think about that. And as God begins to move us into a counter-cultural movements, controversy will be the new norm. Those base and foolish things will clash with the high and exalted things in the earth. Prepare yourself, friend. Prepare yourself to not pull back. That's been the norm. That's been the church's norm, is to pull back, to be, quote, undisruptive. But I'm telling you that the Lord is going to use you to pull down high things. Brace yourself, my friend. Brace yourself for collision. Now, this isn't a defensive posture. No, we are not preparing to protect ourselves from impact, but we are gaining momentum to break through and to break out. In the mighty name of Jesus. Listen, you've been anointed. Remember what Jesus quoted in Luke 4? Let me turn there in my Bible. You've been anointed. Jesus, you know the story in Luke 4, verse 18, 19. He gets the scroll of Isaiah, and he's quoting Isaiah 61, one of my just most favorite passages of Scripture. Well, he's quoting, Jesus is quoting Isaiah 61, but he's reading something about himself. Now, this is very interesting because if you're born again, you are born again into the body of Christ. Jesus is the head, and you are born into that body. We find out from Psalms that the anointing comes on the head, comes down the face, off the beard. Well, where does the anointing fall? It falls onto the body. That's the understood direction of the anointing. This is an anointing that Jesus walks in as the head, but guess what? As the head goes, so goes the body. Whatever anointing Jesus walks in, the body has access to. And here he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. What are we anointed to do? What are you anointed to do, friend? You are anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. You are anointed. He said, I've been sent to heal the brokenhearted. You're anointed to do that, friend. He said, I'm anointed to proclaim liberty to the captives. You are anointed, friend. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you say, man, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Well, walk in your anointing. This anointing is on you right now. You're anointed to proclaim liberty to the captives. Listen, we're to locate where the strong man is, bind the strong man, and then plunder his house. Well, what is the plunder? Well, ultimately speaking, the plunder is people. The strong man is binding people. But listen, their gates cannot prevail against a violent person going after kingdom advancement. And we're not talking about physical harm. We're not talking about sticks and stones. We're talking about walking in baptism of fire, having authority in your words, keys to the kingdom. Jesus said, I would build my church. I'll give you the keys. What are keys? Keys, keys, keys. What are keys? Yes, it represents authority to bind and loose to open. What are keys? Keys are how things work in the spirit. There's revelation coming to you. You know, you have strategy. You are not ignorant of the devil's devices. Why? Because keys. You're not ignorant of his devices, of his strategies. Why? Because you have keys. What are keys? How things work in the spirit. And he's given these keys to you. He's put an anointing on you to set captives free. What else? We're still in verse 18. The recovery of sight to the blind. Oh, hallelujah. I believe this is definitely referring to physical blindness, sure. But I think it's also spiritual blindness too. Remember what Paul said in Ephesians 1? He's praying that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened. Paul, very interesting. I mean, here this guy is on the road to Damascus. He has this encounter with Jesus, and he's blind, naturally blind for several days. It's kind of an interesting play here. As he was able to see naturally, he was blind spiritually. The Lord blinded him naturally and opened up his eyes spiritually. Do not rely on your natural sight alone. God wants to increase the spirit of seeing and knowing. Just say, I receive it right now. I receive it. I'm saying this personally for Justin. I receive it right now. An increase in the spirit of seeing and knowing is operating in me right now. So you'll not only walk in the anointing that will literally heal the naturally blinded person. Remember that verse in the Old Testament? I believe it's Proverbs. Of course, it might be Psalms. I didn't look it up. I'll have to look it up here. But he said, the seeing eye and the hearing ear, I have made them both. The seeing eye, I'm going to look that up. And the hearing ear, I have made them both. Let me get you the reference, friend. Proverbs 20, verse 12. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made them both. Then you know it says that there's no shadow of turning. Listen, he did not make the blind eye. He did not make the deaf ear. There's no shadow of turning. There's no variation with him, meaning he didn't make an eye with the intention of it seeing. He didn't make a variation of it where it wouldn't see. That's the work of the devil. And you've been anointed to set people free from the bondage of not only natural blindness, but spiritual blindness. What else? You've been anointed to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Well, that would be oppressed of the devil. Of course, this would be possessed type folks, but it would also be demonized. People that have been harassed are harassed by demonic spirits and evil spirits. You've been anointed, friend, to get into a dark place. Listen, that's where your light's going to work the best, is in a dark place. Right? You don't turn on a flashlight in broad daylight. But when it's dark, that light is piercing. That light is revealing. This is why I'm saying you cannot apologize. Stop. Don't. It's a dark evil strategy moving in across the nation right now, trying to cause pressure, force people to apologize. No, don't do it. We're not going to apologize for being the church. You're not going to apologize for being anointed. And you're not going to apologize for going into a dark place and bringing the light. Even if people are squinting and freaking out because it's too bright, turn the light out. No, exactly. That's what you're there for. You are not going to turn out the lights. In verse 19, he said, I was anointed to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Listen, friend, you've got some stuff to do. Let me go back up. Let me bring this to a close here. But remember, we are not fighting for victory. We are fighting the good fight of faith, standing on the revelation that the battle is already won. We are doing what we do from victory, and enforcing that victory wherever lawless ones abound. Man, I tell you, if there's ever been a time for all the troops to be mobilized, all the army of God. Listen, it's not a one-man show. It's not a one-man show. I don't think it ever was supposed to be. But it's not just the guy in the pulpit. It's just not the guy who's the Bible school degree or whatever. Listen, there's more work for one or two. We need all the troops showing up for battle. It's time to get off the couch and get in the game. Stop being AWOL and get ready and in position, because the church is advancing. And we're going to break through the gates of hell. We're going to plunder the strong man, friend. Now, all this chaos that you see going on out here around us, this isn't the end. This is not the end. You heard that quote. I think most of the credit goes to Sir Edmund Burke. I think it was another guy that said it before him, but it doesn't matter. But the quote is this: all it takes for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. Listen, friend, I don't think you're going to do nothing anymore. I don't think you want to do nothing. You're tired of doing nothing. And you know why you're getting tired of doing nothing? Is because the Spirit of the Lord is prompting you. He's moving on you. The Spirit of the Lord is moving on his body. I heard this word back in 2017. March of 2017, the Lord said this. It wasn't audible, but it was very impactful. And literally, it rocked my world. He said, I want my church back. I want my church back. And in the fall of that year, he was speaking that again. He said, I want my church back. And then he added this. He said, I want my body back. I want my body back. Listen, God is mobilizing. People are being woke. I'm not talking about this false awakening. I'm talking about the body of Christ is being stirred. The spirit of might is coming upon us. We're rising up with strength. Listen, friend, get out there and take your place. I'm talking about, you know, doing away with church. That's, don't even think that. I mean, that's not even what we're talking about. You're gonna find a good, strong, powerful church, because you need a company of believers that you can fellowship with. Remember what in Acts 4, they were threatened. Where did they go? They went to their company. They went to their company. That's what I'm talking about. And I think in a lot of ways, church is going to change a little bit. It's going to take on a different nuance. It's not going to be an entertainment center anymore. It's going to be a place where there's a company, where they encourage one another, strengthen one another, build one another up, and patch one another up, and, you know, get you ready to get back out there where you can go plunder more strong men and release people from bondage. Sure, people will come. I mean, the church is open. Hello, in 2020, the church is open. Have you noticed the strategy to shut the church down? Listen, devil, you're a liar. The church is open. Our church has been open. We've been open. And maybe your church that you go to has been one of the few churches that have remained open. We've remained open. We haven't closed. That's dumb. The church is open. We're essential. Listen, we are essential. You, my friend, you're essential. Your supply to the company is essential. Don't stay home. Come on. No. Maybe you go to a church that they shut it down. Tell your pastor, open up, man. We are essential. Come on, tell them. We need to get a revelation that the church is essential. We can't apologize and back up now. We're not going to apologize. No apologies are going to be made for going after the kingdom and advancing the kingdom and being the representatives that we're called to be. We're not apologizing. Nope. And we're not going to forsake the fellowship of ourselves together. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you getting up and getting out there, being a witness for him, wherever you might be, whether that's at the store, you know, wherever, your job, the place you work. Maybe God puts you on assignment. Maybe you're somewhere specifically because the Lord led you there. Turn left, turn right, go here, go there, knock on that door. The Lord wants to take you on some adventures, friend. And I believe you're going to go with him. So why do the nations, why are these people assembling with commotion? Because the church has stepped aside. Hallelujah. Let me pray for you, friend. Father, I thank you right now for whoever's listening. Lord, they're getting stirred in their spirit. Lord, I pray that there would be a vision. Their eyes of their understanding would be opened right now, Lord, and there would be clarity and understanding of what I'm talking about. And Father, they'll see their place, Lord, and they'll see the strategy, this wicked strategy that's out there trying to get the church out of the way. Listen, the restrainer must stay in place. The restrainer cannot be moved out of the way. It's not time. We got to stay right here enforcing victory. And I thank you, Father, that these good people, these friends of mine, are going to be stirred, Father. And I pray that it'd be a fresh vision, fresh understanding of your place, of your grace, of the anointing, and how valuable you are to the kingdom, to the location, to the region, to your church, to your family, and to the whole entire plan of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Father, I pray that they would have their eyes open right now to that part of the body that they are and how important that they be in full function in Jesus' name. Oh, Father, we just thank you for it. Well, hey, thank you so much for tuning in. You've been listening to the Grace for This City podcast. Hey, my name is Justin. Thank you so much for being here today. Listen, reach out to us. Send me an email at hello@gracecitychurch.tv. That's hello@gracecitychurch.tv. Or call us. How can we stand with you? How can we connect with you in prayer? We believe in the power of agreement and the power of prayer. Call us 870-741-9099. That's 870-741-9099. Hey, until next time, my friend, do not apologize for being the church.